What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Well, the holidays are meant for family, getting together with people, calories, food, drinks, as Victoria looks skyward. Also meant for a tiny bit of a break when it comes to the NHL, but they're back tonight. This is, what is it? It's Wednesday, right?
We all Wednesday? Day long. I've been working since 3:30 this morning.
And you have no idea what day it is.
And I've had to remind myself that it's Wednesday all day long. I'm not exaggerating. I probably checked the calendar 5-6 times already.
So do we just go into like this malaise over the 24th, 5th, and 6th? Is that kind of what happens?
I think it's a bit of that. I think just everybody's work schedule too is all thrown out of whack. And I still, because with my radio work, I still work through. I didn't work Christmas Day, but I still work these different pieces. But my spouse is sitting at home when he is usually at a job. And so I'm like, why are you here on a Tuesday? Oh, right. Of course. It's because it's, but so
we're back.
We are back.
Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash, Pucks and Seven. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts on the SiriusXM app and go on all the socials. You can find us. We'll go west after we go to east, and we're doing it a little bit differently. We're also going to get one in before the calendar flips to 2024. So in that one, which is Sunday, I believe, coming up this Sunday, we will look back to 2023. We'll kind of take a look back, some of the numbers of the season, and not just the season, but the calendar year as well, Vegas winning the cup, all that type of thing. But this one's going to be something like, we're going to look at the contenders, pretenders in each conference, some of the good moments, some of the bad moments, who do we think, all that type of thing. So let's begin with the East.
You we're basically taking stock. Something. We've had three days off to reflect. We're more than a third of the way through the season, and we're taking stock of where teams are, where they should have been, where they might be, where they are going to be going forward, who we're disappointed in, who we're happily surprised about. So we are going to start with the East, and let's start with the expected contenders in the East. These are the teams we thought who they were, who they thought they were, famous line, and they were, but in a good way, in the best way possible. And the contenders that we have listed in the East right now, Boston Bruins, Toronto Maple Leafs, Florida Panthers, Tampa Bay Lightning, and the New York Rangers. Those five teams all in playoff contention right now, all expectedly so. So I guess a little tip of the cap to them because they haven't disappointed us to date.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone would have thought at this point that they would disappoint. If you're looking at a slight disappointment, it would only be based on the points and the standings, but not really of Tampa Bay, because you mentioned those teams, Boston, Toronto, Florida, Tampa, New York, that's 1-8 in the conference. So those are five teams in the top eight, which is no surprise. The Rangers, they're lighting it up. They've been doing so from the get-go. Boston, no surprise, but I can say they're kind of coming back down to earth a bit. That whole season last year was amazing. Good for them. And I think we joked too, because they went off to that amazing start this year. We're like, okay, they're definitely going to get to 180 points or something this year, but they're not. So is there a bit of a concern with them? Toronto, they've got issues, which we'll talk about. The Panthers. So Tampa Bay for me is the only one. But if you look at the standings, Vic, Tampa's only 1 point back of Toronto. So despite them being eighth in that Eastern Conference, they're only 1 point back of Toronto when it comes to points. The Leafs have 40 and Tampa Bay is 3. So I'm not surprised with these five teams whatsoever that they're where they're at right now.
It is interesting, though. You do mention that, but Tampa does have, they've played four more games than the Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is one thing to take note of. I know you still have to play the games. I know you still have to win the games.
No, but that's
but
big.
That gives yeah, the Maple yeah. Leafs a little bit of cushion. I yeah. will say, like, the small little minor surprises, even though we expected these five teams to contend, and they are, is the fact that the Boston Bruins are finally coming back down to earth, as you mentioned. Right. I think they are really starting to feel the effect of not having Patrice Bergeron in that lineup. I think it's right. starting to show. And I think the goaltending is looking a little bit more human as well. So even though we have Boston, they are still top of the division. They are still a playoff team. I think they're still going to be there by mm-hmm. the time we hit April. It's nothing compared to what we became used to last year or even no. the start of the season. I would say out of that gaggle of five, the one that's really steamed ahead that seems not flawless, there's no such thing as a flawless team in any sport, but the yeah. Rangers to me are by far the most dominant. They're the ones that yeah. you look at that lineup up and down, the group of forwards, the group of D, their yeah. goaltending, and it's just, again, not perfect, but they have fewer flaws than I would say the other four do.
The key to a really good team is when you can play well without some of your key players. And remember when Adam Fox was out, the Rangers still played extraordinary hockey. So that is huge. You mentioned Patrice Bergeron. I'm glad you did. Because going into the season, everyone said, okay, David Krejci won, Patrice Bergeron. Those are big losses. More Patrice, I think, based on everything that he brought to the game. No disrespect at all to David Krejci, but I would take
Bergeron
over Krejci.
Yeah, but David Krejci didn't win Selke 1,000
exactly.
times. Like,
yeah,
it's a little bit of a different player.
Actually, that's a new trophy. It's named the Bergeron Trophy.
It should.
You should understand
that.
By I know.
For another day.
When he goes in the hall. Anyway.
That would be great.
The Rangers, top to bottom, they're fantastic, but they don't have, case in point, the two games, then we can move on. The two games against Toronto recently, the one game where they looked terrible, and then the next game they beat Toronto pretty handily. Remember that?
Absolutely.
That was kind of, for me, okay. Not that they laid an egg against the Leafs, but they were outplayed. But then a good team comes back and says, we remember what they did to us a week ago, whatever it was. Let's show them that we're not pushovers and that we're a great hockey team. So that to me was such a telling, not that I need any telling points about the season for New York, but that was to me a huge telling point.
Now we can move on to the expected pretenders. Now, these are teams we didn't expect to be contending for a playoff position and who are living down to their expectations, I suppose.
Yeah, they're living
not,
down. No.
They're not surprising us is my point. No. And in this group, we have the Detroit Red Wings, Montreal Canadiens, Ottawa Senators, the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I know that's a little bit personal for Ryan and I. I know a lot of other people think Pittsburgh is still going to make some noise. I don't. And the
right.
Columbus Blue Jackets. I think those five, the two of us certainly didn't have in a playoff position by the time April rolled around. I know we thought it was going to be interesting to see what Ottawa was going to do. Mm-hmm. I know we thought it was going to be interesting to see what Detroit could accomplish this season, taking a step forward. But I think we both also agreed that they weren't there yet.
No, they weren't. And if you look at the standings on this date through December 26 of 22, so not through December 27 because there's games to come tonight, but through the 26, Detroit had 35 points and they had played 32 games. Ottawa, 31. I'm not going to go through them all. Pittsburgh had 43. And that was such a huge thing for the Penguins because as of right now, they have 34. So they had 9 more points at this point a season ago than they do at this point right now. So Detroit, for me, is a team that I'm pushing for. I know they have only 2 wins in the last 10. And boy, that Patrick Kane signing really looks good. Sorry, Patty. You're not going to get him in. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway.
Their goaltending stinks.
I know it's terrible.
Their goaltending is not, and I said this on the air somewhere out to somebody else last week, James Reimer is not an NHL goaltender right now. He's not.
Has he ever been?
He's had moments.
Okay.
But he isn't right now.
I don't think he's ever truly been a number one. You're about to smile. I don't know what
I'm
you're
smiling
about to say.
Because you never say anything mean, and this is a little bit mean. I'm really enjoying it.
I'm still in Scrooge, right? I can still do it through next couple days. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think
he's very good, and I don't think he's anybody. I don't understand. He's bopped around the league a fair bit the last few years, and he keeps on getting work, and I'm watching him now. If I was a skater with the Detroit Red Wings, I would not want to turn around and see that guy between the pipes.
No, any
day right now. So I know they've got some hurt guys with Huso and them. I just don't think the goaltending is good enough. Detroit has a lot of good things happening out front right now, but they do not have net minding, and they need it bad.
They've allowed 113 113 goals, which is...
I'm not surprised they haven't allowed 113 goals in the last 2 weeks. Every time I look at them, they're just... They're surrendering goals left, right, and center. It's almost every game now. I mean, take the over, people. They're just... They're brutal. They've been... I'm exaggerating a little bit, taking some poetic license, but they are bad. Their goaltending is bad.
Columbus is bad as well. I have no confidence in them. So if they even... Would they be expected to pretend? No. I pick them to be dead last in the NHL by the time the season's done. And I had that in my... I think that's the only prediction I have.
Oh, I don't. No, I think Columbus is better than that. I think,
oh, no, they're terrible.
But they're still not... They're not there yet. They're not a playoff contender yet. And, hey, a little bit of a shout-out to the Montreal Canadiens right now.
Yeah, yeah.
They are having some fun. They are winning some hockey games. I think they're 7-2-1 in their last 10. But they've been a very fun team to watch. Still not quite there, and they've got a little bit of a hill to climb as well, and I think it's going to be too steep a hill. I still think they're still figuring things out, but they are on the upswing. If they are even in the discussion for a playoff position in March, I think that's wonderful for Canadiens fans. I think it's wonderful for hockey in general, because we always like it when an original six team does well. So, but again, they're not in there right now, and I don't expect them to be there by the time we're in April.
So... Going from then those teams to ones that have surprised us, I'll throw three at you. The Islanders, the Flyers, and the Capitals.
These are happy surprises.
Have they all surprised you?
Yes.
Even Washington?
Yes, all of them. Really? Every single one of them. So these are the happy surprises. So congratulations to the Islanders, Philadelphia Flyers, and the Washington Capitals, because you are where I did not think you would be. And that's in a good spot. And I did not have a single one of them. Not one. Washington is old and heavy and slow. I still think that, by the way. The Philadelphia Flyers, I still thought, had some strides to make under Torts before they were back in contention. And I've never been a big believer in the Islanders because they don't score enough for me to contend regularly. But that's been the difference, Ryan. The last month or so, they are. Matt Barzal is scoring. Bo Horvat is scoring. Other members of the Islanders are scoring now. And that's the reason that they have climbed up a metropolitan division that, outside of the Rangers, looks up for grabs for every... Look at the Met. Look at the Met right now. The Islanders are in second spot, and the Philadelphia Flyers are in third, and the Capitals are in fourth.
Yeah.
Nobody had it drawn up like that to start the season.
No.
Nobody. Well, nobody who, unless you were just picking random names out of a hat. Right. Nobody would have thought that's how.
And it was pure luck.
Absolutely. So... Which one of the three are you least surprised about?
That's a good question. I'm least surprised that, you know what?
I don't have an answer either.
Okay.
I'm surprised by all.
That's one of those questions that does not need an answer. Thank you. I was about to stress. The fascinating thing about the Capitals is that they're 17-9-5 and they're a -9. They've only scored 77 goals. They've given up 86. So of all the playoff teams right now, they're a -9. The Islanders are a -4. So let me ask you this. They've had 104 and 108. What are the other team we talked about? Philly. Philly is, they're a +9. That's fine. But when you're a negative going into the postseason, I know we have a ways to go. That's a concern to me as well. It is.
I think those numbers eventually level out. I think they do. And I think they're going to start to add up to losses. I think the Washington Capitals are going to start to lose more games.
Because you cannot win in the NHL by scoring 77 goals in 31 games. You can't. I have no idea what that equates to over an 82-game season, but it's well below what they... I know Ovechkin can't put the puck in the net to save his life, but I know that's well below what... they normally put out, I think, over the course of a season.
Oh, no, it's wild. 77, and then you have the Rangers that scored 108.
It's crazy.
77 versus 108. Yeah. That is bananas. But congratulations, you're in there right now.
Yep.
Let's see if you can hang on for dear life. I don't necessarily think, of any of those three, are any of them a playoff team by the time it's over, even though they're in there right now?
Yes, the Flyers.
Okay.
I'm fully committed to Philly.
I don't think any of them are, but
okay.
If I was forced to pick one, it would be the Flyers. I still look at that team, and I'm so happy to see Atkinson and Sean Couturier back. And I know we said this a bunch of times already, but the fact that they are back and they are skating and they're competing again, and you've got those young kids, your Bobby Brinks and your Owen Tippetts and all those guys. I guess Owen Tippett actually isn't that young anymore, but there's a great energy there. I still think they're winning a lot on adrenaline and good coaching right now. And that's what I'm worried about, because I look at the talent and the skill on the roster on paper, and it doesn't measure up to, say, the Rangers or the Toronto Maple Leafs. So
it
I wonder if you just run out of adrenaline gas eventually. But of the three, I am with you. The Flyers, of all of those three, is the one that maybe I would think has a shot. Let's flip the page now. So those are the happy surprises.
Yeah.
These are the unhappy surprises. These are teams we thought were going to be in contention who are sadly not. And I'm really disappointed in one of them in particular. And we're talking the Buffalo Sabres. We're talking the New Jersey Devils. And we're talking the Carolina Hurricanes. These are three teams, not only you and I, but most pundits in the NHL, not maybe not most, but a very good number, had thought were definitely going to be in playoff contention. And they are not.
Shockingly, the turnaround already is something. Carolina, with 50 points a season ago, and the Devils had 46. They don't have 50 points this season, and the Devils don't have 46 points this season. Now, Buffalo's at 34, so they were only two games over 500 at 16-14-2. I'm concerned about the Devils, and you and I have talked about this ad nauseum, and we'll continue to talk about it. Most people will until something gets done. They are going nowhere with the goaltending in New Jersey. They're going absolutely nowhere.
Do you think that's the only problem? We agree that's a massive problem.
No, I don't think it's the only problem, but you put good goaltending behind that team, which is a pretty good team. It's not like the team completely overhauled from a season ago. It's not like they've done that at all. You put better goaltending behind that team. For example, the goaltending that they've had in New York with the Rangers, the goaltending they've had for the most part in Boston. I know you said off the top, it's kind of dwindling a tiny bit. The goaltending they've had, Vegas, Dallas, Colorado, whoever. That's in part of your team playing well in front of you. So say the team, New Jersey, makes a mistake, it's going to be in the back of the net. Last year, that didn't happen. So unless they do something, I'm telling you, Victor, they're going to go from, if they don't change it, they're going to go from the team that was terrible 2 years ago to a huge turnaround to now a team that didn't make the postseason. It's going to be up and down, up and down.
And if you look at that, their core of forwards, that lineup out front, they should be playing much better than they are right
now. Yes, they should.
They need goaltending. I think that there's no question of that at all. I think they also need to replace Dougie Hamilton. I think that's too big of a hole on the back end. And what I think is fortunate is there's now the cap space to replace Dougie Hamilton until he eventually is able to return. So you divvy up a little bit and you bring in another blue liner, because if you look at their core blue liners, it is not the same as last year. It isn't. No. And I think they need somebody else back there. And of course, they do need goaltending. So let me ask you, how badly do you want the Anaheim Ducks to trade John Gibson?
I'm so glad. You just gave me a late gift. Oh my
gosh. They haven't done it, but I think it's a wonderful idea.
No, the gift is you're allowing me to talk about it again. That's the gift. I wasn't going to bring up John Gibson, but I'm going to bring him up because you just brought him up. Yes, absolutely. I mean, take a shot at it. Go for it. Why not? He would be going to a good team. I know California is different than New Jersey. Although,
go back later.
But just if you want to, I'm telling you, Vic, if they do something like that, because, I mean, who else is out there? I don't know. But if they do something like that, that will kickstart that team. I guarantee you it'll kickstart that
team. He's from the Pittsburgh area, so it's not exactly miles away from New Jersey. Like, you're sort of in the same region, well, compared to Anaheim, that's for sure. So his contract expires, I think it's a couple years from now, something like that. I think it's two seasons after this one. And so he can do whatever he wants, go and contend for a cup. I don't think he's ever really enjoyed true playoff contention. Go and get a taste for that. And then if you want to go back to California and lay on the beach, you can sign your final contract with the Ducks, who will probably be a better team by that time. So then you can bring your experience of knowing how to win. He is so frustrated. He needs to go somewhere. I don't necessarily know if it's New Jersey or Detroit or goodness knows, Toronto. Somewhere that they need goaltending help. I don't think he would go to Edmonton. I just don't. I can't picture that.
I would not go to Edmonton either. No, and we can get into that when we do the West. Anyway, trade John Gibson.
Yeah, it'd be fun. So
let's go.
Okay, so of those three, Buffalo, New Jersey, and Carolina, who turns it around? Who has a much better second half-ish?
Is the answer dependent on if they make a move?
No, or they have if to. All, okay, you have so, to. What so do you all, think so the all, team is going to look like?
If all yes. three. Okay, I'm going to say New Jersey.
I think New Jersey and Buffalo. I think Buffalo. I do. I think Buffalo's just had a very difficult time getting it together. There's because when I watch the play.
But this is what they've done. This is what they've done. They start off well, then they go down the dump, and then they come back again late in the season. This is that's the blueprint that this team follows. And everyone gets excited about them. I'm excited about them. And I still am. I mean, look, you can hardly contain yourself. Yeah.
I still do. I watch a lot of Sabres hockey.
I know.
And they're just better than their record. And I think when you're better than your record, your record turns itself around a little bit. I still do. I'm not counting them out. I refuse. I know they have a losing record. I'm not counting them out. I am worried about Carolina. Something's not right there.
Yeah. No.
And again, you can look at between the pipes as well, but it goes beyond that. Carolina, there's something absolutely wrong. So I think by the end of it, and you wouldn't have caught me dead saying this a month ago, I don't think the Hurricanes are going to be there.
Yep.
Let's move on to something a little bit more positive. In the East.
Yep.
What do you think is the best story? We've already touched on this, but what is the best story so far?
Yeah, it has to be Philly.
It has to be Philly.
Yeah,
right.
It does. You mentioned all the names that they have on the team and the fact that they're playing with intensity, the fact that they're playing with fire, John Tortorella doing his thing. It's a good story. It's good. And I know that John Torts is a great quote. Doesn't matter what he's doing. You know, if the team wins 8-0, he'll still find something wrong with whatever. That's just who he is. But what you said too, I wanted to go back to this because I knew we were going to talk about it again, was that I do believe that if Philly can sustain this type of play, you don't have to keep the level, but just get in. I think that team is, they could be a team like the Panthers last season. They could surprise a bunch of people. I'm not saying go all the way, but I think that they will still have the intensity and the fortitude to do that. They're not going to burn out. But I think they're a great story. I love it. And they were a huge underdog. I did not see them at all taking the steps that they have already.
It's interesting what you just mentioned about the playoffs, because if you look at their blue line, outside of maybe Travis Sanheim, and even then I'm stretching it, they have no stars. It's all big, heavy, stay-at-home dudes. Sorry, they don't like the term stay-at-home anymore. Shutdown defensemen, we're going to call them, like Sean Walker and Cam York, and Nick Seeler. Nick Seeler is blocking 100 shots a night, man. And you want to play with those guys. They're not pitching in a ton of points. They haven't needed to, because the core forwards has been getting that done. But they do have that defensive core that you see enjoy success in the postseason, because they're bigger and heavier and really tough to play against. And they hit hard. And that's who you want to have.
Rasmus Ristolainen as well.
Oh, another one. Yeah.
Let's not forget about him. And that's fine. That's fine. And again, if they can continue, just play within the game. I know that you love to have on any defense in the league, great offense, guys that can move the puck, and no stay-at-home type of players. That's what they all had years ago, outside of, you know, Coffey and Orr and all those different guys. But this is fine. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. By the way, 84.6% of teams that are in a postseason spot on December 24th make it in. 84.6%. Let's carry on. What's the worst story in the East?
Alex Ovechkin.
Yeah.
If you had told me in September that... Nope. By the day after Boxing Day, Alex Ovechkin would have 6 goals.
I would say you're nuts.
I would say he got hurt. He obviously got hurt and he missed a bunch of games. So he only obviously played 7 or 8 games, and that's why he has 6 goals. And then if you told me that he actually played the full season, he played 31 games and he only had 6 goals, I would be gobsmacked. I actually remain gobsmacked today. Every day I remain gobsmacked. And when people ask why, and you can say he's not as fleet of foot, and he does look slower.
He does
look a little bit too heavy for the game these days. It does look like Father Time has caught up a little bit. I suppose all those things. But I don't understand the big drop off. If he had 14 goals or 15 goals, I can understand that conversation. There's something else. And it can't be because Nick Backstrom isn't there, because he's played without Nick Backstrom in the past.
No, it's not. Look,
If
you are a pure goal scorer, and that is what he is, one of the purest that you'll ever see in hockey, Backstrom is not the difference. Yes, Backstrom was kind of like Gretzky to Curry. That's the type of combination that they had. But there's no chance. Alex Ovechkin knows how to score. But because he's not scoring, the question now becomes too, going out of this season, is Gretzky's record still safe? Is it going to be safe?
It feels a lot safer today than it did
certainly
in the summertime.
I thought
it was a slam dunk, and we both said this.
Me too.
If he stays healthy these next 2 seasons, I thought it was essentially a slam dunk. I had him down for 50 this year.
Oh, which is just no, like, you didn't. Did you?
Yes, I did.
Oh my goodness.
It was a bold prediction that was clearly way too bold. Six.
Yeah.
Six goals.
And this is from 42 last season, 50 before, then 24 and 45 games. The guy only does 30, 35, 40, 45, or 50. So I don't know. There's got to be something. Hopefully he can score a bit more because
I think he's going to find another gear. And I think it's going to be far less embarrassing than it is right now. I still think, I think we're going to look at a 30 goal season by the time this is over with at minimum.
I don't.
Really?
I think that's
going in our book.
Yeah. I think if he gets 25 at the most, I think that's where he's going to go.
Okay. I have
him down
for 25.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
I have my book.
Carry on before I say something else that does not come true. How about this one? So there's one guy in hockey who has 28 goals in 30 games. He's averaging 0.93 goals per game. There's 51 games left to go in the Leafs season. We know who this is. He's on pace for 75. Now, that's a ton. 28 and 30 is a ton. That sustainability of that pace, I don't know. But does he get 65?
No. It's so hard.
Really?
It's so hard because when you're on that type of torrid pace, if you only take a couple of weeks off, Ryan, it's done.
He already has. He's gone. You look like he opened up the season with, it wasn't two hat tricks back-to-back games, like games one and two, but he had that. And then he went down a bit. He had one goal in a few. Then he got one, then two. Then That's what I mean. So he's been up. This is what he does. So he will go on another run probably a month from now where he'll get, I don't know, say 10 in 20 games or something like that. And then maybe he'll go on a run where he gets 5 in 15 or 5 in 20. But then I think he's going to get to 65. I do.
He's done it before. 60 feels attainable to me. To bolster my argument a little bit further, I'm also going to say this. A big topic to start this season, not just with us, with everybody, has been how bad the goaltending has been.
Yeah.
I think the goaltending is eventually going to improve. When the goaltending improves, I think the players like Austin Matthews they're not going to score quite as often. I mean, he is just ringing some of them up right now. I think that's going to relax a little bit. Either defenders are going to figure out how to help out their goaltenders more, or the goaltenders are going to figure it out themselves. But to actually maintain that pace, again, I know what you're saying, and I think 60 is possible. I think 65 is just that little extra. So, but we'll see. And I mean, Leafs fans are obviously going to be rooting for it.
Yeah. Hart Trophy candidates. Maybe he's in there, the conversation. Certainly Nathan MacKinnon is in the conversation, but Nikita Kucherov is in the conversation. He has 57 points in 34 games. Do the math. That means Tampa has, 48 left to go to make it 82. 135. Is that attainable? I think it is.
You think he's going to get it?
I think it is. But you know what? This is so hard.
It's supposed to be.
Okay, well, I didn't sign up for this. This is like back in school. I was hoping to have fun with this. If Edmonton didn't struggle as much, he would be the only one I think that you could properly predict how many goals and points that he would score.
I'm not going to put you in prison if you get it wrong. We're just like throwing out some guesses here, right?
Well, I just got out, so please give me a bit of time.
You back in prison.
Thank you.
The most he's ever collected is 128. And I remember when he did that because we were all super impressed. He's on pace for more than 135 now. So he can actually slow down a little bit. And I'm going to say the same thing. I don't think he gets 135. I think 125 to 130 is probably within his grasp. Again, I think opposing goaltenders are just going to figure it out a little bit more. Because the guy is nuts on the power play.
No, he is.
And so eventually you're going to start to coach. I know we watched Alex Ovechkin, speaking of, in his office for years, and you're yelling at the opposition, the penalty killer, saying, why are you not there? You know what he's going to do. But sometimes they do figure it out. I think they're going to figure out how to contain Kucherov a little bit more. My other concern for him, just with the history, I'm a little worried about his health. I know he's had a bunch of healthy seasons too, but he also hasn't. So if he can keep it all together, you give me 125, 130. And again, I'm going to be super impressed by that.
He just seems to, I don't think he cares a lot, but he does. And he comes across that way. In this season, he just doesn't care at all. What's more, very impressive about him is that the amount of points that he has, even strength, are almost identical to the power play. So he gets 31 on even strength and 26 on the power play. You think about that. I mean, you play 5-on-5, you get more than half your points on 5-on-5. That's pretty good. Last one. Hats off, cheers, whatever, kudos to the goalies. At least that's one positive for the Penguins, right? They had a goalie score this year.
That was something nice. That was a lot of fun. We thought we've seen a couple of goalie goals. Everybody gets very excited. I think the only thing a notch above for some people, it's not particularly to my taste, but the goalie fight. So maybe we'll get a goalie fight in the second half of the season. Can you imagine the same in one game? Get a goalie goal and then and then you get a goalie fight. That would be I think a lot of fans around North America would explode.
And then you get the assist, because then you could have the Gordie Howe hat trick for a goaltender in one game.
Imagine.
That'd be something.
It's never happened, has it?
No,
Ron Hextall is the only one I can think of, and I don't think it ever has. That would be actually quite incredible. All right.
I will say this about all the goalie goals. If you touched it last and you scored, fine. But if you didn't, it doesn't count. It shouldn't count. Let's go West after this. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matyash. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matyash.
He is Ryan Payton and I am Victoria Matyash, and this is Pucks and Seven. I think we failed to mention that the first in the opening.
Yeah, I think I ended the first segment with Pucks and Seven. We'll be back. What? Anyone tuning in? What's the name of this show?
I think people who found it and clicked on it probably realize it is Pucks and Seven. So here's to confirm that.
This is what they call a reset. This is what they call a reset.
It's the holidays. Everybody's a little wobbly, and that includes us. Yeah. So it's too much turkey, too much nog, much all of it the last few days. So we're still getting ourselves in order. And also the NHL, of course, has been on their three-day break. They're getting back to action tonight. It is Wednesday, December 27th. And 14 games on the slate. So they're coming back with a bang. Everybody this week is playing quite a bit, except, Vancouver. We'll get into the West deeper in just a second. Vancouver has one game in nine days.
Oh, wow.
But how annoying is that?
Like, well, every team has to go through that stretch, right? Where they don't have
But around the holidays,
games.
Though, yeah, like you just had 4 days, they're going to have 4 days off. Then they have to go to the rink for one game. And then they have, do you want to just not call in sick that day?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. You're allowed one game off of 82, pick a game, and they can all pick that one.
My tummy doesn't feel very good. I don't want to skate.
No, really? Okay.
Sticking with the West, we just did this through the East. We're looking at the teams that are where we thought they would be in terms of good and bad. So expected contenders, expected pretenders, and then, of course, the surprises as well. The good surprises, the less good surprises. So let's first start in the West with the contenders who we expected to be performing the way that they are in the most positive manner. And that are, we've got the Dallas Stars, Colorado Avalanche, Winnipeg Jets. I am including Nashville in there, but we can talk about that.
No, you should. You should.
Okay. All right.
I'm in
the
agreement.
Vegas Golden Knights and the Los Angeles Kings. I think we both had all of those teams in the playoffs. I know I did.
No, we did. Oh, I did. Yes.
Okay. And they are in a playoff position right now. Nashville has basically just elbowed their way into one in the last, goodness, week or so.
7 wins in 10. That'll do it.
That will do it. And they played much better hockey altogether. So those are the six teams that we have in that we expected to be in. So there's not really much to talk about outside of the fact that they are impressing us to the degree that we expected.
The only one that we don't have in is Vancouver. But we'll talk about Vancouver in a bit. Out of those 7 teams, 1 through 7 in the West, 6, Dallas, Colorado, Winnipeg, Nashville, Vegas, LA. I'm glad you mentioned the Preds. I'm glad you put them in because I did expect them to be where they're at this point. Started off slowly. We know the Kings have been amazing on the road, 13-1-1. Winnipeg, to me, is an unbelievable story. Just tick off Gabe Bilardi. Keep him pissed the whole time, and he will just score and score and score. Hellebuck has been amazing. Vegas is where we knew that they would be, trying to repeat as champs. Dallas. That division, both of the divisions, they're going to come down to, I think, 3 teams. I really do, by the end of it. I know there's ways to go 40-plus games, whatever it is, but I'm absolutely not surprised with those 7 that you chose. I would have chosen the same 7.
I think Winnipeg might be the most 6. Impressive of the bunch. Yeah, the 6.
Yeah.
Winnipeg, because we're going to get to Vancouver, because I did not have Vancouver as no, a playoff team.
I didn't either.
So I'm going to get to them. Guess what? Spoiler alert. They're a happy surprise.
Right.
The Winnipeg Jets, to me, especially now, especially recently. I mean, when you lose your top goal scorer in Kyle Connor, who they lost a few games ago, and you continue to win, and yeah. I didn't think they would. I thought they were going to struggle a little bit. But again, they're playing. They're really well coached this year.
Oh.
We've said things about Rick Bowness in the past, so we've got to also give him his due. He is coaching his bum off, and I know he missed part of the season, but when he returned, he's been coaching his bum off this year. Players want to play for him, which hasn't been the case. So maybe getting rid of Blake Wheeler and sending him to New York and all of that, maybe all of that was very necessary. It now definitely seems so, but sure. Good for them. They're 8-1-1 in their last 10, and you can't find any fault with that.
Remember when Hellebuck was on the trade block and when they were thinking about not re-signing him? I was on the whole thing about get rid of them both, get some back.
Mark Scheifele as well. So the two of them.
I'm glad that they re-signed because they have been amazing. I'm with you. Winnipeg, for me, is the best one out of that bunch. Do you think Nashville, quickly, before we get to the other teams, the expected pretenders, think Nashville can kind of keep this going? Because they seem to be over that hump, but they have a ways to go. Because I don't, unfortunately.
So long as Saros is continuing to play as well as he has, it's just they're such a great structured team. They're not terribly flashy. I know they have Philip Forsberg and there's a couple other players, but everybody's bought in. There's a lot of non-name recognition players on that team. Mm-hmm. If you're not a fan of the Predators, you're not going to know who these guys are. But they've all bought in. They're all playing the right way. I don't think they play particularly exciting hockey for the most part. Again, the exception being Philip Forsberg. So, but if they keep on buying into the system and they're tough, they've always been a very tough team to play against.
I'll
always remember that when the players in the West were polled and who do you hate playing against? And Roman Josi was right up there again, along with Jamie Benn, actually. Those are the top two. And then who's their number one defender and has been for years now. So it's it wouldn't surprise me. Nashville's always very quiet about it, but they seem to get the business done.
Expected pretenders. The list that we have: San Jose, Anaheim, Seattle, Chicago, St. Louis, and Arizona.
So these are the teams that I particularly did not expect to be in a playoff position and who aren't. I suppose you could have made an argument for maybe St. Louis. Other than that, there's no way Chicago. I was not a believer in Seattle to start this season. Anaheim and San Jose, I think, were also obvious choices. You know how I feel about St. Louis. The only one that I put an asterisk next to is the Arizona Coyotes, because the Arizona Coyotes are not in a playoff spot right now, but they're close. And they have been contending, and they have been overachieving. So I actually don't like including them in the expected pretenders category, because they're just a little bit out of it right now. They have a winning record, and they've been playing some excellent hockey. I don't think that they're going to be in the situation by the time the playoff picture rolls around. I still think they have that extra step 2-3 to take. They're largely inexperienced, but they have some very young, exciting players, and they're playing a lot better. Yeah.
Well, if Arizona, if they aren't in, then that means the Blues behind them, Minnesota, Calgary, Seattle, Edmonton, those teams have to upend them. Because at this point, I don't think it's sustainable, but it would be really fun to see this team. And speaking of Arizona, I was looking at their numbers today. Do you know that Clayton Keller leads the team in scoring? But I think he's a minus 22 or a minus 12. Minus 13. He's a minus 13, but he has 30 points. And then you don't have any, Nick Schmaltz is minus 9. A lot of guys in the plus, but I find that incredible to think about because he's their best player and that number is not good, but he's got 30 points. So why not? I'll take it.
He's on the ice a lot. Let's just say that.
Yep.
So he's in there. He's fair in there enough. In all situations. That I find that rather fascinating as well.
Yeah.
Clayton Keller has very quietly led that team for many years now. He doesn't get the attention he probably deserves because it's the Arizona Coyotes.
Yep.
And the only time we ever talk about Arizona is with their building problems and their ownership problems and where they're going to move to next. So, but it's, I think this season we can give a little bit more attention to the hockey team, especially now that there seems to be a new home for realsies this time.
Oh, really? Hold on. Let me just rewind the tape.
They get me every time. I'm like, this time it's going to happen. Yeah. So yes, I'm not counting them out either, but you're right. If they make the playoffs, that means a team like the Oilers or the Nashville Predators is not going to, or the Calgary Flames is not going to make the playoffs. So it is, if they're in, who is out? Speaking of who's absolutely in right now, and is, this is our only happy surprise in the West.
Well, which is true. No, go ahead.
Because everybody else is kind of doing what they expected.
That's what I was about to say to you. Right. Yeah, it is the only surprise. Absolutely.
So just allow me to interrupt you as usual, and then we can carry on. The Vancouver Canucks, what else can you say about them? I mean, you can't call it a fluke. October, you can call a fluke. Halfway through November, you're still waiting for them to run out of a little bit of steam.
Right.
You can't. They have 49 points. They have a 700 winning percentage. They've been outstanding all season long. They are the cream of the West. Well, I mean, I guess not cream. Dallas Stars aren't that far behind, but they are the cream of the West. And that is definitely maybe not the happy surprise in the West only, but the happiest surprise in all of the NHL. And they got to pat themselves on the back big time.
The numbers are astonishing for Vancouver. This season, they have 23 wins, 22 have been in regulation, and that's one more than they had all of last season. All of last season, you think about that, in 82 games. And not only that, they're 20-0 when they lead after two. That's pretty good. Plus 46 goal differential. They lead the league in goals with 135. You talked about Ovechkin at the beginning of the season. If you said to me, yeah, Vancouver toward the end of December is going to lead the league in goals, I would have said you're absolutely nuts. I'm with you. This is an amazing surprise. I love it. Last season, too, just to put into perspective where this team is at through 35 games, they were minus 14. Now they're plus 46.
They scored 135. They scored 135 goals. 135.
Honestly, sorry, what? How many? What?
135. They're going to level out. I still think they're going to level out. They're not going to maintain.
Really?
I think everything comes back to the mean at some point. I really do. Mind you, I said that about the Boston Bruins last year, and I was horrifically wrong.
Yeah.
You never know. I just still think that the goaltending has been so much better than it has been in the past. These aren't new players. The scoring has just been out of this world. By the way, JT Miller is not going to continue on his pace. He's shooting at like 35%. That's not continuing. So I still think we're going to see a little bit of regression to the mean. I still think Vegas can catch them in the Pacific because they actually quite tight.
I do too.
There's no way that Vancouver is tumbling out of a playoff spot. Not unless the wheels absolutely not come off, but explode and then are shot into the sun, because they're being well coached right now. The goaltending is great in the scoring. Everything is working out. They're having a great time. And you don't hear anything coming out of Vancouver from the fans right now, because they only make a lot of noise when things are bad. So when things are going well, it's cold. They're so quiet as mice.
Good for them. I'm with you. The only team that could probably catch them and pose that issue would be Vegas, because of what they've done since they've come into the league, defending champions, all that type of thing. At the top of the standings in that Pacific, we do not see Calgary. We do not see Edmonton. In also a playoff spot, we do not see Minnesota. Of those three, Victoria, who's going to turn it around, if any?
I guess I can't say all of them, can I?
No, you cannot. No. Nuh-uh. That is the cop-out of every... Yeah, no, you can't do it. You got to pick one.
My pick is Minnesota to turn it around.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because the goaltending is good again, and they now know how to score again, and Kaprizov looks like Kaprizov again, and Minnesota is a playoff team. Yeah. I'm throwing out bonus remarks. I'm really rooting for the Flames. I root for that team so hard. It's just, I'm rooting for the Flames. Do I think that they're going to pull it off? No. And the Oilers are interesting. They have to maintain some consistency, because they did dig themselves such a massive hole, and then they won 1,000 games in a row and put themselves in a much better position, but then they lost a handful in a row, and then they bounced. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Oilers, because they do have the talent. You can never rule out a team that has Connor McDavid on it. You just can't.
No.
But the defense is still suspect, and the goaltending is still suspect.
I will tell you two guys that need to, if Edmonton is going to make a run, and we've seen them make some runs, if they're going to make a run and get in at some point, Connor Brown, who, to be honest with you, has been so quiet, he's done nothing. And Darnell Nurse looks on most nights awful on defense. He does. Don't blame him for signing the contract, but it's a crazy contract. Draisaitl's going to be okay. McDavid's going to be fine. Skinner is up and down. The whole team is up and down. I will actually, the more I think about this, I'm going to agree with you with Minnesota. I don't have any confidence in Calgary, and I have none in Edmonton. I don't.
Really?
I don't. I think that this whole coaching change, then that huge surge, and what have they done? Well, they've won two in a row. They've seven of the last 10. That's fine. I don't see them. I just don't see it. I don't know why. No real reason. But if I would be putting money on a team, I think I'd probably do Minnesota.
They have 6 road wins. That's a problem.
Yeah, it's not going to.
You're not going to succeed if by this time in the season, you have 6 road wins. So we'll see. Again, defensively, there's still problems there. You just outlined them. And when does Evander Kane get hurt? He gets hurt every season.
Yeah.
So he's going to get hurt. He's going to break his hand or something at some point because them's the rules, I guess.
Yeah.
And then he's going to miss a bunch of time, and that's going to hurt them as well. Yeah, so.
It always happens. We talked about Vancouver. I mean, they are the best story in the West, correct? Best
I would say they might even be. We also said, so we don't have to be redundant here. They
the NHL.
Might be the best story right up with the Flyers in the NHL. So it's just to celebrate that. So let's just flip right over to the worst story in the West. I don't think you can pick anything other than the San Jose Sharks, can you?
No, you can't. Next.
Like, Chicago's rebuilding. Sorry.
Yes. No. Yeah.
The Blackhawks are rebuilding, and they have the top draft pick, and Connor Bedard has been fantastic, and there's something to look forward to in Chicago. Fans can still go to games and watch this fantastic young player and see what this team is going to look like 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now. San Jose, I call it the land of the misfit toys. It's like they just parachuted in a bunch of bodies to sign from around the league. I feel sorry for Mike Greer. I think he has a really hard time attracting players. I think he's a very smart man, and I think he's going to be a great GM for many years to come. But I don't think people want to go there. And I'm not saying now. Nobody wants to go there now. There's no question of that. I don't think people wanted to go there in the summer. I don't think people wanted to go there last spring. There's no formula.
They're in this rut. And I think I talked to you about this at some point when we've done this pod, the whole West Coast swing that teams would go to, that was deadly years ago. Anaheim, San Jose, and LA. And San Jose they were dynamite, but they have not made it into the postseason since 18-19. 8th of 8th last year, or right now they're 8th of 8th in the division. 7th of 8 the season before, then 6 of 8 in 21-22 and 20-21. The team's going nowhere.
They have 9 wins. 9.
Every time. So answer me this then. Last season, they had 22 wins. They had 60 points. How the heck did Erik Karlsson put up that many points? That makes no sense. It makes no sense. How is that possible?
Somebody's got to do it.
Okay. But on a team like that? Oh, my gosh. Anyway, good on him. My point is that the fact that you got that many points on that bad of a team, I'm with you. They're going nowhere. They're not. Far cry from Vancouver. Connor Bedard, I miss seeing him at the junior. I will say that. Anyway, the junior tournament is going on right now. We're from Sweden. But over under 37. So is he going to get the 30 goals? Is he going to get the 75 points?
I think so. I do.
Okay.
He's managing already. So he has 13 goals right now.
Yeah.
I believe. It's not in front of me, right? 13? He's done that without any real supporting castmates. He has the best chemistry on the team with Ryan Donato. I mean, there's a lot of people who are listening to this who have no idea who Ryan Donato is.
Who?
He's not a star. He was supposed to be playing with Taylor Hall, and very unfortunately, Taylor Hall got hurt, and there went that. So if you look at who he is actually skating with, and he's still putting up numbers, I think there's going to be a little bit of movement. I'm not saying that they're not buyers by any extent, but you make some more adjustments, or he develops even a better chemistry, because he's brand new to this league. We're taking it for granted a little bit, but he is still, you're like, we could have been watching him in at the juniors. He would just be skating circles around.
Oh, he would, wouldn't he? Oh,
it would be my bad. Gosh.
He did last year.
And he's bigger and stronger and more experienced now. And imagine playing in the NHL the way he has played at the level at which he has played, and then returning and going to Sweden and just booting around the teenagers. It would be awful. If he develops some more, with whoever it is, he develops some more chemistry, so long as he doesn't get worn out, and I think he's too fit mentally, emotionally, physically to get worn out. So I think it'll be very surprising 30 goals for sure, 70 points for sure, maybe 75. I think that's what's to be expected.
So he then needs 17 goals in the last 49 games. Very doable to get to 30. Very doable. And 30 points to, what is it, 75? So whatever that is, 45 points in the next 49 games? Very doable. I think he's 5 or 6 in the last 4. So he goes on these runs.
He does. He's very hot and cold, though.
Yeah, he is.
And
yeah.
That's something, as I write fantasy for ESPN.com, as our regular listeners know, it's something that I start to watch. Because if he gets into a couple games of a cold streak, I'll say, if you have other options, I know you always want to put Connor Bedard in your lineup, but if you're shifting players in and out, if he is in a little bit of a cold run, but then as soon as he scores one, you get him back in there. Because he does. A lot of players are like that. That's not an unusual trait. But I've noticed him. For sure.
I'm gonna tip my cap to him. I'm not wearing one, but I'll tip my cap to how he's handled his first year, how he's handled the media. I know he's handled the spotlight in the media for so many years, but how he's done it, the whole Corey Perry thing, all that type of nonsense.
They threw a lot at him, eh?
Hats off to him. I remember that first, it was training camp or practice, whatever it was, and all that, there was a shot somebody took from, it seemed like they were above the locker, looking at the amount of people around him wanting is this, wanting that. I'm like, oh my gosh, the guy's 18. I don't care how many cameras you face. Anyway, good on him. Proud of him. Not that that means anything to him. He also was very good at the Michigan, and he's got guts. I love the Michigan goals, Vic. I love them. I love them. I love them. I don't care if you're if you're outside the playoff picture by 2 points, then maybe I wouldn't suggest you try it. But if you get a chance to do it on a team like Anaheim and Chicago, which we saw recently, go for it.
I love
it. Man,
it's
fun.
Trevor Zegras came back from missing a bunch of time with an injury, and Anaheim missed him too. And he's one of the more fun players to watch in the NHL. He's obviously known for the lacrosse style goal that we all love. Well, at least the non fuddy duddies love. You know, some of the old schoolers and the dinosaurs, that's not hockey.
I mean, come on.
That's not hockey.
Okay, so then what is it? Just the, let's just go in and try to take, come on, be creative.
Those are people who hate fun. We can't talk about them that much because there's no fixing it, all right? But okay. Trevor Zegras comes back, and they actually, one of the reporters on ice asked if it was possible that he might try one that game, and he did, and he scored, and it was so fun. It was just super fun. Yes, this, again, for the 8,000th time, NHL hockey is entertainment. It is for us to watch and enjoy. It is a distraction from regular life, from sick kids and sick parents and work we hate and all the rest of it. So anything that makes it more fun without becoming too circusy is A-okay by me. And it's risky. Again, like you said, if it doesn't work out and you had a better opportunity to not score a Michigan-style goal, first of all, your teammates are going to be super pissed.
Of course.
So there's that, especially if a game is on the line. Otherwise, it's just entertaining to see. I love the goalie goals. I love the Michigan goals. And we've had a little bit of both to start the season. And for that, I am grateful.
Well, what's crazy, too, is that Bedard and Zegras made theirs look so easy. I mean, I know Zegras has done it before, and Bedard's done it. It's so simple for them. And it's like, man, you got to pick the puck up and you all in one motion. And then you just, I did that.
Have you ever even tried one?
I have.
I've never tried one.
I can't. I mean, it takes me a bit of time, but I can't get the puck from being flat onto the blade of the stick, right? Like, I don't know what I do. And then just trying to maneuver it, it falls off. It's hard. It is. Not to them.
One last word on Bedard, and again with the Michigan thing, because I was just thinking about the whole 10,000 hour rule with Malcolm Gladwell and all that stuff. You have to do things over and over and over and over again to become truly good at them. And they were just talking the other day, the head coach of the Chicago Blackhawks said he made a joke about paying the Zamboni driver $50 to start the Zamboni out there to get Connor Bedard off the ice. So this is the best player on the team who's still putting in the work after practice when he should be done and he can relax and play video games or whatever it is. And he's still out there working on things and working on things and working on things. And that is the sign of a true superstar and somebody we're going to watch play for 2 decades.
We're in a really good, and then we'll end it. We're in a really great time. You and I have watched hockey a long time. I'm not going to date ourselves, but we've seen many of the greats come and go. Don't smile. Well,
we've
smile.
Dated like, ourselves like, so many times. It doesn't
you know
matter.
What? Let's just face it. We've seen this. Okay, I'm not going there. But the fact that we're witness to Bedard, McDavid, Matthews, I don't know, just pick anybody else. It's just all in one span. Crosby's still doing his thing. It's just, you can't take it for granted.
I wonder if sometimes I think this all the time, getting a little maudlin here, but most years recently,
yeah,
I've thought that's the best year in the NHL that I've enjoyed.
Right. Right. And then
it can't be, but it seems to just get better and better all the time. And I wonder if that's just a big dose of recency bias. I don't think it is completely, though. I think the game is becoming more and more exciting all the time. And I will say one last thing to that point. I also think the league is too slowly, but a little bit, letting players be individuals more and more, and you're getting to see more of their personalities.
And you're fine with that. That's what you're saying.
I think it's essential.
Imperative. Okay.
The NBA.
I do too.
The NBA is, in my mind, first of all, it's a great game, but other than that, the NBA is, I think, is so much more successful than the NHL because they let the individuals show who they are. It's entertaining. Yep. They have heroes. They have villains. They have players you hate. They have players you love. They let players speak their mind. Everybody tunes in when LeBron has something to say, and it's not necessarily about what's going on the basketball court. I think it is absolutely essential. And with the social media, NHL has always tried, well, it's such a team game. Mm-hmm. So we can't let individuals start. You would even listen to Connor McDavid say, oh, I'm just one player on this team. Horse manure. You're not just one player on this team. The grunt on the fourth line who just played 6 minutes is not the same as you. It's okay to say so. It's all right to say things, to display your personality. And I think that attracts fans, especially those who don't just love the on-ice product that much, but want to see, they want to be entertained. They want the whole spectacle.
That felt good for you, didn't it? And on that note, we're going to leave you. A lot of fun. And we're going to be back at this one more before the calendar flips to 2024. Pucks and Seven, follow us on Twitter at Ryan and Peyton at Victoria Matiash, and get us on Instagram at PatesRP at Matiash Victoria, and catch us wherever you get your podcasts, also on the SiriusXM app. On that, Vic, I'm Ryan. We'll talk to you in a few days.
This has been Pucks and Seven, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Use Rakuten to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's savings on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list, from toys for the kids to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love and cash back is automatically added to your account. And you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.